Greg Mulder from Kaufman Electrical Equipment. Greg has been in this industry for more than 20 years, and from 2006 to 2009, he designed the EPCC system for the military, one of the first megawatt power integration microgrids, and is going to share his expertise on designing and constructing some of these smaller systems. So, Greg Mulder.
As he mentioned, some of the information that we are going to use here actually came out of, we were lucky enough to win an award between 2006 to 2010. It was a $4.5 million research project to develop a megawatt microgrid where we had to do complete analysis of how inverter-based electronics worked, how they worked with startup loads, different types of loads, and how they compared with generation and how they all could work together. So one of the things that we found was we're starting to see a move towards, you know, the traditional cogen systems are your large systems like we most of us have been talking about that are designed for, you know, big facilities. But what about the smaller facilities, the small manufacturing plants with the 100 to 500 kW load, has a fairly stable heat load that he needs heat for, and what options are there for him? One of the things that advantages of inverter-based systems is that when you're working with large cogen, you have to do paralleling gear with the utility to maintain the same frequency as the utility. So what that does is actually controls, you have to maintain your engine at a particular RPM so that you have very little. If you have changes in loads, your efficiency can actually drop off drastically if you can't base load that machine and run it full power. With inverter systems, they're very similar to a solar system. You basically, all the switch gear is in there. They run basically in parallel with the utility. And what they end up doing is they actually speed up and slow down so that if you're running your cogen system at 50% load, it's only going to be maybe turning that engine at 1,000 RPMs. Therefore, your efficiency curve for the whole system is the same regardless of what the load is. You can also, because of the way the interconnection gear is, you can easily have one engine running when it makes sense. You can add another. And it's basically a matter of what your loads are, of what, how many may make economical sense at your site. So staging things. Another area is these are using automotive. They're basically like the main one we're working on. It uses an 8.2, your standard basically old 8.2 GM engine, which simplifies some of the service areas. Now they've been modified to let, you know, to give you the hours of operation, but it makes it much easier. The other area is because you're actually able to, these are inverter-based systems, is you can actually integrate batteries in the with the inverter system. One of the advantages there is now you can actually use those batteries for demand management, so you can actually, you know, have them kick on so you avoid peak charges. Another area is they now take that cogen system, which traditionally, because of its startup time, cannot qualify as a backup system. Now that cogen system also becomes your backup system for your facility. Also, because it is a inverter-based, it actually is giving you computer-grade power, so it's literally also can act as your UPS for your data center system. This is a traditional system. Basically, you have the heat in. You're about 27% electrical efficiency, 54% heat. And so basically, you can call it, like I say, is it a generator that makes hot water, free hot water, or a boiler that makes free electricity? Because when you're putting these things together, the main thing is you're looking at the electrical load of the facility and the heat load, and you say, okay, what makes sense between both of them? You're not trying to go for all the electrical load. You're not going to try to go for all the heat load, but you try to find the balance of when it may be economical And then what can that do for your system? Basically, you know, it all depends on site size, but what we're actually seeing, if you have a good heat load in Michigan on a commercial project, that it's very easy to be in a 6 to 7 year payback range for these type of systems, and also provide your system backup power. What we're starting to see a lot from insurance companies is we've actually had a lot of people calling us because, like, for food operations, different types of that have perishables, also on the insurance companies are saying, wait a minute, we're going to start charging these people more money if they don't have backup power on their site because we're tired of the utility failing and then we getting a large insurance claim. Basically, I say when you do them, you're basically going to cut your carbon footprint by about 50%. And I say they do have black start ability and ability to run isolated from the grid. This is a typical facility, CO2s without cogen, and this is with the cogen system. So it's very easy to reduce your energy requirement of the facility by, or your CO2 of the facility by over 50%. And with the inverter features, they meet all the requirements of interconnecting. As I say, they interconnect just like a solar system. Have the black start thing. Main issue is, with traditional cogen, unless you oversize it drastically, if you're isolated from the grid, if you have large motor loads or anything hits you, it's not unusual for those engines to have a 5-10% voltage dip. And sometimes that's going to cause you problems with your thing. We did testing when we were doing the testing on our microgrid system. These systems, you can easily have the same quality. If you start a motor on it, you're going to see less than 2% voltage dip. So it gives you much better quality of power on your site than just what a general backup cogen system will do. And also sometimes even as good or better quality than the utility would supply you. Also can give reactive power. The other issue is these things in a cogen system, they're basically, you say it's rated as 100 kW. This thing can easily run 125 kW for up to 500 hours a year. So you can actually, in your programming, you can use these a cogen system for demand management if your power quality is light, and so you actually get a secondary advantage on your power bill by handling that demand. Also works well in, like if you're integrating with renewables and you have like a solar system that's not matching your demand rate, these can be used to respond to it. Basically, you have your natural gas engine going to your rectifier. As I say, now they're actually, you can actually integrate in batteries or inverters or solar with those. And then you have your inverter that's actually providing the output to the system. For an example, here's at 40 kW, the engine's only running at 1,000 RPM. At 130 kW, it's running at 3,000 RPM. So it basically varies the speed of the engine based on the energy requirement. Has a little bit of more information. They also have developed on this system a new exhaust system. Testing in California shows that these things have the basically almost exact same exhaust curve or exhaust profile as a fuel cell with these new, so you're basically making much cleaner air. What they actually have found is most of the time the air leaving the engine is cleaner than the air that entered it. Permanent magnet generator in your electronics. Here's a case W on efficiency, in other words, your generator efficiency. Your overall efficiency stays stable at the different RPMs, where if you want a traditional cogen system or a traditional recip engine, it's not hard to see those efficiencies drop by as high as 20%. Again, a part load of performance. As you see, the electric efficiency stays very similar. You're actually at part load. Your actual overall efficiency ends up improving because your heat rate on your heat recovery actually improves as the speed of the system goes down. This is a project in New York. As I say, these are several of the facilities in New York that stayed up through the, during the hurricane were developed with these systems. These were pretty much the only systems that survived in New York, because New York will not allow a synchronous generator connected to their grid in the city, so that a lot of the cogen systems that were using traditional systems had to shut down during the hurricane, where these could continue to run because of the inverter-based technology. Same thing is true like in Chicago, a lot of big cities where the interconnects are very complicated. The inverter-based is a much simpler, and they allow them to interconnect, where they may not allow you to interconnect other technologies. This is a little on smaller basis. We had questions out back about like residential CHP. That's coming. One of these days, they keep on putting press releases out that they're going to, and they have a beautiful little 1.5 kW cogen system that they sell in Europe and they sell in Japan, and they just haven't decided that the U.S. market's ready for it yet. Yanmar, we're starting to see come across. These are actually a DC generator, where we basically use the generator to charge batteries and then run in conjunction with inverters. This gives you, especially for telecom or areas that you need it, these make a whole lot of sense. Also, when you're starting to talk about small CHP for homes, normally in those cases, just running CHP by itself is not going to be economic, because the base it's running too many hours, and you're never running the thing at full thing. So what you do is you integrate with a battery system, and you design your system so you basically say, okay, I've got so much battery, I may have solar coming in, maybe have other sources, and I'm going to design my battery so that I can run that generator at full efficiency when I want to charge them. But I'm only going to run that generator for 4 hours a day rather than 24. And you basically design how many hours you have to run based on what your heating load is, not what your electric load is. Also works great with solar, because of the fact that solar makes power in the wintertime. You need more heat in the summertime, so you may not need any generation. In the wintertime, you don't make the solar, so you have to make more generation and also more heat to heat the house. These are a couple different technologies. As I say, you have the capstone turbines. Yanmar just came out with a new system that they're starting to sell in the U.S. Flex Energy is actually a design that's basically a design mainly for doing flare gas or low BTU gas. They have several different options that they've put together using basically the old Ingersoll Rand turbine. You have the 2G, which is made down in California. I know they just had a restructure, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Kraft Power, a lot of different options on the smaller systems. Other area with CHP, when you're doing for companies and stuff, is absorption chilling. For every 100 kW that you produce on the electrical side, you can do 30 tons of chilling. Now, if you're working like with data centers, the interesting thing is for every 100 kW of power they require, they also require 30 tons of chilling. So this kind of can be a very good way to use for cool. When you do have a constant cooling load, it makes a lot of sense. There's also a lot of people say they just think of making engines and CHP systems. This is rather than making using the engine to drive a electrical, They're driving a compressor direct, and they're still doing the heat recovery off the engine, so that you're basically doing cogen while you're, but instead of making electricity, you're now making chilling out of it. They've done the same thing now with heat pumps. So now you can basically say you're doing, you're recovering your heat off your engine, but instead of making electric, you're making compression for things. So there's other ways to do efficiency that make a nice sense. This particular interesting, where it becomes really valuable, is say you have a site with a large heat load and cooling towers running all the time. These systems can take your 80 degree or 90 degree cooling tower water, and rather than running it through a high energy fan, you can now take that same heat, bring it up to 160 degree for heating your facility, and at the same time, make an extra 22 tons of chilling for your data center. So it works very nice in applications where you have both heating and cooling needs at the same time. The next level with these small systems is, okay, where they fit in microgrids. You know, how do you put in combine of wind, solar, generation, all of these systems together to make the most economical sense? A lot of times you may not be able to make cogen by itself work, but if you look at it with basic lighting, solar, and do all the matches, now you make the economics of the whole package work, rather than where if you looked at just the cogen by itself, you can't make it work for the facility, because it's a matter of looking at how much heat is required and how the electric load looks and how to match that electric load. This is basically kind of the next level. This actually is a project that we're hoping to get funded by the government. This is actually a new wind turbine. This actually brings the wind and basically compresses it, brings it down to the ground, and then makes the power off it. Off-grid power systems, solar systems, flow batteries, generation. New thermal system panels that go out of the back of your PV panels and then hook them up with a geothermal system to make heating and cooling. And then also working with, and actually this is a company that was actually started out of Zeeland, Michigan, Greensleeves, where they're, okay, how do we tie cogen along with geothermal systems, ground source heat pumps, so when we don't use the heat, we can actually store that heat in the ground and we actually improve the efficiency of the whole system. So this is where I think the next level of integration, and a lot of times you have to do a full integration rather than just the cogen itself. Questions?
Nope. Well, thank you, Greg. We have another networking break. Oh, go ahead, Dan.
Didn't see you there.
Sorry, I expected questions. We do have a networking break. This one will give you your 5 minutes of networking that we stole from you earlier, and you'll be especially excited to know that we've got cookies and ice cream snacks out in the lobby. So, yeah, we bring the goods. So we'll see you back here at 2:30.